This is Stateside. I'm Jennifer White, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. A cancer diagnosis, either for yourself or for someone you love, is a deeply frightening experience. When Greg Holmes received the diagnosis of a very rare and highly fatal cancer, he and his wife, Catherine Roth, found themselves trying to find hope in what seemed like a hopeless situation. They've shared their journey in the memoir, The Good Fight, a story of cancer, love, and triumph. Greg, Catherine, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Greg, tell us about this very rare cancer you were diagnosed with.
Well, it's interesting, Jennifer, because I thought I had a stuffy nose for a long time, and I'd struggled with nose congestion. After the biopsy, it was discovered that I actually had a cancer by the name of sinusoidal nasal undifferentiated cancer. And that is a very extremely rare cancer and one of the most deadly. And we did a little bit of research. We looked into it right away. And the other thing we found out was that there's no survivors.
When you first received that diagnosis, you heard it from Catherine. And Catherine, actually, I want you to read a portion of the book where you had to tell Greg about the biopsy results. Mm-hmm. Will you read that portion for us?
Sure. I hesitated, as one does when facing a huge precipice. I knew that telling Greg would make it real and send us free-falling into a nightmare. I longed to hold back and return to our innocence, but reality pushed me forward. I asked Greg if he was sitting down, and then I jumped. I don't remember how I told him or the words I chose, but each one felt cruel. Each word was irretrievable, shattering our world and life as we knew it. Nothing remained except the harsh, windswept shoreline of our tentative future.
Life turned on a dime for you in that moment.
Right.
And you all also have a daughter, Emerson.
Right.
At that time, she was 3 years old. We had a three-year-old daughter, yeah.
So what happens at a heart level for you, Catherine, when you first hear that and you know that you have to be the bearer of bad news to your husband? And you're a physician, so this may not have been the only time you've had to give bad news to people.
Right, but it's totally different when it's your dearest friend and lover. But when I wrote this, it was almost like post-traumatic stress for me to write about it because I was in sort of an altered state that people go through when they're given devastating news. It's like the whole world recedes and you're just, you know, it's indescribable. I tried to capture it in that paragraph, how it's kind of irretrievable and you have to go forward, but you don't want to.
Now, Greg, your reaction was very interesting to me once Catherine told you. Will you read that portion of the book?
Sure, I'd be happy to today. What? How could I have cancer? Catherine and I had been the poster children of good health for many years. Neither of us smoked. We both drank half a glass of red wine each evening. Our diet was replete with organic fruits and vegetables. And we exercised routinely. We meditated. We did our yoga stretches. We went off as seekers on spiritual retreats. We helped many others change their unhealthy habits and states of mind. We were so good.
That line, we were so good. Did you feel like you were being punished for something, or was it just you were in a state of disbelief?
Exactly, Jennifer. I was in the state of disbelief. I couldn't believe it. I was shell-shocked. I could not believe it. Us, we had run a cancer support group at a couple of hospitals. I'd known many cancer patients. I knew their history. But to think that we had done all the right things and still got this cancer, I couldn't believe it.
Hmm. Now, the path you took in facing this diagnosis and facing, Greg, your recovery, how would you describe that path?
Well, Catherine and I, after we halfway got our heads together, I don't think we ever got our heads together during the whole process, totally. I don't think you can. But after we recovered from the initial shock and we went to the University of Michigan Cancer Center, we looked at each other, grabbed each other's hands and said, we've got to do anything and everything we can to fight this. Everything. We've got to fight fire with fire. And I think some patients, everyone differs in their motivation, but I had everything to live for and I wasn't about to give up, even though it was a terrible cancer with a horrible prognosis and no survivors.
So when you say we have to fight fire with fire, we have to throw everything at this, Catherine, what was the everything?
Jennifer, actually, when I first came out with the diagnosis, I started then. I didn't even wait till we got to Ann Arbor. I started to think about this as comprehensively as I could because we knew. I mean, even the Commonwealth's Wall Street Journal, that work Greg had read earlier in the book from, was about how terrible it was and people were not surviving. So I quickly felt like everything. And everything to me meant turning to the natural world of herbs and things that has enhanced the immune system and help with inflammation and just a battery of things, looking really primarily first at nutrition. And that's where I started and built on that, as the book describes, with a lot of research and perseverance about what else, which included acupuncture and other nutritional things that I came to learn about. I was on a quest. I couldn't sleep, and I was searching and turned to the literature that's growing out there, which is exciting to me.
I'm curious, because you are a physician, were there times when this sort of non-traditional, more holistic approach to Greg's diagnosis, did it bump up against your training?
No, never.
So you found a place where they met?
Because I felt from the beginning of with going into medicine to be that kind of a healer, that there was more to do to engage the healing within the person than just bombarding them from without. So I was oriented that way. So that did position me where I would have felt more conflict not doing it.
Now, that's not to say that you didn't use the traditional methods.
Right.
You sort of did everything.
Exactly. Because, Jennifer, the sad fact is about cancer, and for your listeners, is that we have not made very much progress with cancer. Cancer is a terrible diagnosis, and except for there's some exceptions with some types of cancer, testicular cancer, leukemia, lung cancer rates have declined primarily because people smoke less, but cancer, we've spent since 1971, we have spent $100 billion or more, and we're really not getting anywhere. So fast. So what Catherine brought into the picture was we knew that the doctors, they did their best, the oncologists, but we knew we had to bring something else. We knew we had to bring everything into the picture, nutrition and these supplements that Catherine researched and discovered. So,
Catherine, I'm curious, because you are a physician and part of the book is focused on how to be, or the importance really of being your own medical advocate or having the people around you advocate for you. Do you think you were better prepared to do that because you have a medical background and lots of people don't?
True.
And so they find themselves in these positions and don't know the questions to ask and don't know.
Right.
How
I think
say
most cancer patients need an advocate, need someone, because like as Greg was saying, his world was shattered and he was just barely coping. Someone needs to be helping them, champion them through that, because the cancer therapies, as you know, it's a tightrope to get through them. And sometimes they're so devastated by the treatment themselves that their health starts to deteriorate so much, which did with Greg. I mean, he was not in an optimal state, obviously, when he got done with his treatment, but I just feel with my work that there are things that are actually complementary that would enhance chemotherapy, enhance survivals. And like as Greg said, if we had had it down and everybody was getting through cancer without a blemish and we had this all figured out, I would be like, of course I'm not going to interfere. But we need to think more globally and more holistically about this disease to help people survive. And the complacency, or maybe it's not complacency, but the intimidation that many cancer patients feel going through it, that they're not empowered, they don't know what to do, and they're really, in deferment to their oncologist in a fear state. Even if I get someone to make a shake, to do something that they're engaging and they're thinking about their own health and immune system, helps them psychologically, if not physically. So I'm all for a holistic, integrative, I call that, approach to cancer, because it's not, as Greg said, we're not getting very far yet. I think we could do better. And that's the real message of this book, is there is things people can do. There is hope. There is empowerment. And I try to be very specific in the book with references and charts and stuff so that the story is woven there, but the information, if you want it, is also accessible. So it can be used in multiple ways.
I think some people reading the book, though, because you talk about the integrative approach to medicine, they'll say, look, it's cancer. We know what to do about cancer. It's chemo. It's radiation. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be some new drugs out there that people are testing, right. But I just, you know, great shakes and, you know, mushrooms or what have you. But I'm not going to go there because I don't know anything about it. I don't trust right. it. And this is what we know works is the chemo and radiation. What do you say?
So I would just counter that. Do we really think it works? I mean, we do think it works in some situations, and as Greg says, they're rare, but there's a lot of people that I see that have gotten through chemo and radiation and really haven't made a lot of changes in either their lifestyle or their nutrition, and they come back to me, see me when it's recurred. I think you have to be more, like as Greg said, fight with fire with fire. You have to be aggressive with this. This is not, you know, a sore throat.
Well, I think it's interesting too, Jennifer, that psychologically what's happening with people, because when people hear the word cancer, they, like me, you know, well, it's like a deer in the headlights. They are so afraid. And when they're in that fear state, the position of their oncologist is elevated almost to a demigod. The oncologist is seen as the only expert, the only hope they have, and they will listen to him or her only. Even though some cancer patients come and see Catherine and for her advice, and she'll give them very good advice about other things they can do as well as the chemo, but then they'll tell their oncologist, and the oncologist will say, you can't do that. That'll interfere with the chemotherapy. And it's an outrageous claim by the oncologist, and it's simply not true. Oncologists are people who know a tremendous amount about very little.
Jennifer, there are centers that are beginning to really, there's research. If you wanted to Google it, I mean, that's the power of the internet. You can look at curcumin, which is a very common spice from the turmeric, and look at it in many different cancers. There's, you know, scientific research behind it. It's not just your local health food store. There really is science building around treating inflammation as a key pin in cancer. And if you can take natural anti-inflammatories, it's helpful. I mean, even at U of M now, they're doing research with curcumin and head and neck cancers.
What was interesting to me about the book was the relationship part of it, not just to one another, but also to your village, if you will.
Yes.
And I'm curious what you learned about each other through this process, but also what you learned about the importance of having that outside support network, having the community around you be there to support you both as a patient and as a caregiver. Catherine, I'll ask you first.
It was an experience to, one, go through it, but it was also a huge experience to write the book because Greg and I semi-protected each other from really knowing what we really thought, what really was going on. So writing the book, I learned things, reading what Greg wrote about it, that I had never known. I did not know what went on in the radiation center. You know, when he talks about those experiences and those relationships, I didn't know that. He didn't know a lot what I was going through. So it was a huge healing for us to listen to each other's voices. The part about friendships, I mean, maybe Greg, you can answer that because I know that was a big part for you, was having a lot of support from our friends.
I had several friends who I had great relationships with, who loved me and who would do anything for me. And that support, in when you study things in research about medical illness, you know, social support is a big factor. And I was so blessed that I had so much social support. We would get letters, cards, all the time, sometimes from people we had no idea, I'd never met. It was a community outpouring. In a way, I felt held by our community in Traverse City and just loved. And I just owe so much to so many people there. And I hope I live longer so I can give it back.
And how is your health?
My health is great right now. Well, let's ask my physician. She's right. She's in the studio with us today. I don't know if I want to hear, but go ahead.
Yeah. Greg's doing great. I mean, he's never really gained his full weight back. And so there's a frailness that he never had. So, you know, it's great. But he did go ahead and lose, in the book that references the radiation may take out his eye. And a year or two ago, he did lose vision in his left eye. So, but he says he sees better with one than he ever did with two.
Yeah, and I think that's a remarkable thing here, Jennifer, is that when Catherine and I ran a heart group, and then for people that had heart attacks and different things going on, cardiac events, and some of the people would talk about the gifts of their heart attack or the gifts of their illness and we'd listen to them. And I remember one man, and he just, after his heart attack, he was a AAA personality accountant. And he was talking about, he'd just sit in his backyard and listen to birds sing, to the point that it really concerned his wife. And I'm telling you, Catherine's right. I've had a lot of things happen to me. I've lost a lot of things. I've lost my left eye. I've lost my thyroid gland. I've lost my sense of smell. My hearing isn't as good as it used to be. Had a heart attack. Probably the stress of what we went through contributed to that. But I'm telling you, I have so much. I have so much more in some ways because of the cancer, because I almost died. I wish I could communicate that to listeners. We tried to do that a little bit in the book, but I wish I could say that don't take life for granted. I do see better with one eye because now I look at you, Jennifer, and I see you. You know, whereas before I'd see you, but now I wouldn't see you. I'd talk to you on the phone, and I enjoy talking to you on the phone, you know, and I just love life. And I'm starting to tear up as I'm talking about this, and your listeners can't see that, but I'll tell them that. But I just wish that for everyone. Don't wait. Don't wait to have a serious illness and get out there and, you know, I mean, hug your daughter. Or your son or your wife or your partner, whatever. Just, they're there now.
You all had a close relationship before the illness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Catherine, the husband you have now, what would you say about him?
He's great. He's a fantastic person. We worked really as a team. There wasn't a lot. I've seen certain cancer diagnoses where people actually had to go through divorce and separation. And you know, we didn't have that. So I really think it propelled us into really working together. And as hard as it was for Greg at sometimes to do what I was championing, he was a very eager person to do whatever he could. He was not ambivalent at all. He hates needles. You'll learn that in the book. But he would allow me to do acupuncture and drink things and take things. And so I encourage people to give it as much as you can. Give yourself over to the healing of the illness, to see the opportunities that are there and not just see the fear and the diagnosis. Go for, you know, whatever you can. But Greg is, he's always been a great person, but he's just wiser now, I think, and a little more savors things. He's slowed down a little bit so that he really doesn't want to rush around and be multitasking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what I've learned through the process was how important it is for a husband to do what their wife says.
And listeners across the state rejoice. Greg Holmes and Catherine Roth are the authors of The Good Fight, a story of cancer, love, and triumph. Greg, Catherine, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's been a pleasure.
And you can find The Good Fight on Amazon.com.